Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I got to tell you, I live for rock and roll. I really do. I was a rock jock back at WLUP Radio. And I love music more than anything. And we have an author who's written a book, Everything I Know I Learned from Rock Stars. Bill Page is with us. Bill, how are you?
I'm great, Wendy. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show. Hi, Bill.
Hi, nice to see you, Bill.
Good to see both of you. And you never missed like a show at Comiskey Park or a show at Soldier Field.
I got to admit, I went to a lot more shows than I do now.
Yeah.
I don't like people. I don't like crowds of people. If they come and play in my backyard.
You like people, but, you know, crowds are a problem. You know, I'm living in Austin now, and it's the festival capital of the world. You know, we have festivals practically every weekend, and I don't go. You know, I'd rather go to a small club and see somebody who I know is going to bring some musicality, and we're going to have a nice intimate gathering, and there's plenty of opportunity for that too. So
why
it's a
did
lot
Austin
of fun.
Become it's like one of the hubs of the music world? What happened?
I don't know what happened there. I mean, I've only been there a few years. And,
lower taxes.
Is that what it is?
Maybe.
There's no taxes, actually. There's no income tax in Texas. But that doesn't prevent the realtors from raising the rents and gentrifying everything. So there's a big problem now that a lot of the musicians who have made it the music capital of the United States are being forced out and can't live there. And who's going to play the music that the tourists come to see?
That's true.
So they're going through a little bit of a crisis of conscience right now to solve that problem. They will, though.
Nashville's pretty rocking, too.
Nashville's rocking. I'm on my way there next week, so I'm going to stop by and spend a few days.
Let's talk about the title of the book. Okay. I know you can't judge a book by its title, but this is a great title, Everything I Know I Learned from Rock Stars. When did you realize that? What was your moment where you go, wow, now that I think about it?
Well, I'd heard that title of the book, Everything I Know I Learned in Kindergarten, and so I did a search. I'm like, am I going to run into any problems with the copyright or anything? But apparently that the franchise, Everything I Know I Learned, .. is common enough, and a lot of people use it. So I thought, well, it sounds pretty good. And there are a lot of lessons to be learned from people who are on the road all the time, you know, trying to avoid eating bad food, trying to stay in touch with their families, trying to work hard to make it in the music business. I note in the beginning of the book that I kind of got into the business in the third generation, you know, after the 50s, you know, when things broke through. Then there was the whole British invasion.
Yeah.
But then by the mid-70s, the businessmen got involved, and it became, you know, Frampton Comes Alive was the new standard of selling albums, millions of albums, selling out big tours, and making your stage show bigger and bigger. It all started becoming about the money a little bit more than it had before. So,
but there are some musicians who try to push back against that.
Absolutely. There's always been, you know, creative souls who didn't care. And, you know, I tried to talk to some of them, and as well as talk to some of my favorite artists. And through the years, you know, it just kind of amassed this body of work that I thought, since it was all published pre-internet and nothing was ever digitized, I thought it would have value to collect it all and, you know, and put it in a form that people could finally read again instead of, you know, having to, well, you just couldn't find this.
Right.
You just can't find this stuff anymore.
What's the difference, Bill, between a rock star and a musician?
Wow. I think there's a lot of differences, but, you know, I mean, a rock star is a person who has fame based on their, you know, performing abilities. I would say David Lee Roth is a perfect example.
He's a rock star.
He's a rock star, you know, stone total rock star.
Yeah.
And
Steely Dan,
but is
musicians.
But is he a great musician? Well, he's a really good rock singer, you know, like Robin Zander from Cheap Trick is a really great rock singer. Mm-hmm. It takes chops. It takes practice. It takes, you know, a certain technical ability to perform that way. So, you know, to call a lead vocalist not the musician in the band, I think is kind of cheating, but he's definitely a rock star, you know, and is not as concerned with the music part of it.
Right.
He he makes it clear that, you know, Eddie is the virtuoso in this band, and you don't have to be a musical genius to understand that.
But it's not every musician's goal to be, I mean, some of them fall into it, some of them very successfully, but maybe that could be a detriment to be a rock star.
A lot of people just want to make, they just want to make music that touches people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the lessons that you learn, is that they just want to make music that connects. And then whatever happens after that, you know, Wilco has a great song, Jeff Tweedy, a really fine songwriter, and it's Once Was Yours, Now Is Everyone's. You know, once you put
awesome.
It, once you write a song or paint a painting or write a book or write a poem or do anything creative and you put it into the world, it doesn't belong to you anymore.
Right.
It belongs to everybody else to interpret and absorb as they will.
Yeah.
Which is a great, you know, that's the cool thing about art, you know.
Absolutely. Bill Page in the studio, Everything I Know I Learned from Rock Stars, Conversations from 1975 to 1995. It's all in here. On the cover, it's you and Debbie Harry.
Me and Debbie Harry. And so...
God, I love her.
I got a phone call, you know, would you like to interview, you know, Blondie? They're coming through town, blah, blah, blah. And I was a little concerned because I couldn't find a Blondie story in my archives. I'm like, I did this interview.
Mm-hmm.
I have this interview. Why is there no story? So I dug out the tape, and I borrowed a cassette player from my local library so that I could listen to the tape. Since the last tape player I had, I tried to play some tapes, and it started eating them. So I'm,
right.
like, I'm throwing you away. You can't eat any more tapes. And I figured out pretty quickly that the reason there was no story is because there was not enough good material in the interview to craft a story from. It was a lot of non sequitur kind of conversations, and her boyfriend at the time, Chris Stein, the lead guitar player for the band, he had just gotten the new Suicide album. Alan Vega
yeah.
had given him a cassette of the new Suicide record. He goes, "You got to hear this." And so he was playing the new Suicide record on their sound system in the hotel room, and it made the interview difficult at the beginning.
I would think.
And then it just so I excerpted, I listened to it, I transcribed it again, I excerpted some stuff for the book, and it's a great picture. Dean Simmons, who's a local Chicago photographer back in the day with Paul Natkin and all kinds
yeah.
of, you know, all those folks. I didn't usually have a photographer with me when I did an interview. That was a pretty rare thing to have a professional photographer there snapping some pictures. So I could not use it.
Yeah, you
right?
had to use it.
You got
to
use it.
All right, some pretty big names in here. John Lennon, B.B. King, Frank Zappa. What'd you learn from some of these people?
Well, you know, you pick two of the three. You actually pick three that I didn't do formal interviews with. The John Lennon thing in the book is like an obituary, kind of a remembrance that somebody wanted me to write. Who else you mentioned? B.B. King
and
Zappa.
Zappa. I just after he died, I did a thing for an art project at Randolph Street Gallery. There's a thing called the File Room that this performance artist kind of put together on censorship issues. I was very involved in censorship. There's a lot of First Amendment stuff in the book as well that I did when I was working for Playboy. But B.B. King was a Playboy thing, and we just what I learned from him was just to do your thing, you know, be gracious. And he was very generous with all of his musicians. He was very generous with the people in the audience while he was doing a great show and bring the blues to people, you know, in a very unselfish way. And from Zappa, I never met him. I would have loved to have met him and talked to him.
But there's your guy who just wants to write music for music's sake and wants to write what he wants and doesn't care that he's a rock star. He just wanted to do what he wanted to do. God bless him.
So true. A lot of these rock stars, as you know, burn kind of supernova, just the way their lifestyle is.
Is that an Oasis slam?
Yeah, it is. No, it's not an Oasis slam at all.
I do that song in my set sometimes.
Champagne
actually.
Supernova?
Yeah, Champagne Supernova. People love it. They sing along.
It's a great song.
It's a great song.
All right, so you know they live a very fast, hard lifestyle. Do you get a sense of that when you're talking to these guys, that their heart is just beating at a different pace than most of us?
Yeah, I got that from a lot of people, especially, I don't know, Joe Jackson comes to mind because I saw him do his eighth show in America.
Yeah.
And so if you read his book, he's actually got a fantastic biography that he's written, but his book ends just as Look Sharp as coming out.
Yeah.
Which is what I like. I like what went before. Moby's book is kind of like that too. You know, the struggling DJ,
yeah.
You know, living in a squatting abandoned building and putting up plywood walls to make his little recording studio to make his records. I mean, I love those stories.
Those are stories.
Those are great stories. And Joe, you know, when I talked to Joe, he was beating that fast.
He was like,
I don't really know what we're doing, but I think that everything we're doing right now serves the music in some way, or I wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
And so that's how he felt. And, But you do get, I don't know, I guess I was always maybe a little too professional. I never did any illicit substances with these people. You know, I may have had a drink or two, but that's about as far as it went. So I never got caught up in the their lifestyle.
Good.
You know, but yeah, you definitely saw some people that needed a long nap,
yeah,
from time to time.
And just going to see the Rolling Stones exhibitionism, it's like you see a replica of their apartment and where they lived, and they lived fast and they lived hard, and it's amazing to me that they're all still around.
Absolutely. I have Bill Wyman. Bill Wyman's in the book. And,
who's not featured a lot in the exhibit, I might add.
Well, you know, when you leave the band, you kind of get forgotten. I'm going to go over there after this.
It's pretty great.
And see it. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yesterday was the 60th anniversary of the first meeting of John Lennon and Paul McCartney. It was yesterday. It was 60 years. Is there something about music where time just goes by at a faster pace than the rest of the world?
No, I don't think so. I mean, people are still listening to, they're still going to, you know, the classical palaces and listening to Mozart and Brahms and Beethoven and classical music and modern music, Gershwin, you know, all that stuff. Generations seem to rediscover great music, and I think the Beatles will be an example of that. That 60 years, 100 years, 150 years, that Paul McCartney and John Lennon's music will continue to be played by people just because it still
holds up.
It naturally connects, and it is pervasive in the culture. So everybody's gonna get exposed to it at some point.
We're talking to Bill Page. His book is Everything I Know I Learned from Rock Stars, and we're going to take a break. 312-981-7200. Where can we get this book, Bill?
EckhartsPress.com. EckhartsPress.com. And it's becoming quite the little boutique publisher for music people here in Chicago. We've got some of your colleagues. Mitch Michaels has a book coming out in the fall. Bobby Scafish has got his book out on the label or on the imprint.
It's that Rick Comfort, man, I'm telling you.
We're trying to talk him into a sticker fund book, but he won't even meet with us. We're trying.
All right, it's Bill and Wendy. We'll continue talking rock and roll with Bill Page next, 720 WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Bill Page. Bill has written a great book called Everything I Know I Learned from Rock Stars, conversations that he had between 1975 and 1995 with roughly 50 of the most influential artists in music history, people like Roy Orbison, Queen, Electric Light Orchestra, Grace Slick, Fleetwood Mac, the list goes on and on. Bill, who surprised you? Who did you sit down with and you thought, boy, this person or this band is nothing like what I thought they'd be?
That's a great question. I really haven't given that one too much thought. Let's see.
Call me later.
Call you later?
Tell me, when you think of it.
Can I text you about that?
Yeah, text me at home. That'll be fine.
You know,
Here's the reason I ask it. For those of us who are fans of these major music forces, we kind of in our head formulate what they must be like.
Right.
And when you get to meet them, sometimes they're nothing like what you thought.
Yeah, I can't. Nothing comes to mind. Is the honest answer. I mean, when I was going into these things, I would be pretty, you know, I would be pretty open minded, and I would be pretty familiar with the artist's music for the most part, whatever they had out. A lot of the artists that, you know, when I'm talking to them in this book, they'd only had one or two, you know, a few records out. I mean, Genesis had a bunch of records out, but they had just lost their lead singer, and you know, I guess maybe, well, Peter Gabriel would be a good example of somebody, because I didn't know that I was going to run into, you know, the shaved head, you know, small, quiet guy who was known as the guy that would wear, you know, big flowers and and prance around on stage. I mean, Genesis was known as a pretty extravagant art rock group. And, you know, he came down in a, you know, like a corduroy shirt or something. And, and just very simple and very plain and very, very British.
Yeah, of course.
Know? So that's maybe that's kind of a comment. There is definitely a difference between, you know, the American musician and the British musician.
Is there really? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think there definitely is a different, I don't know if it's a demeanor or
they seem more well mannered than we are.
Yeah, I mean maybe some of them take it a little more serious. I suppose that's painting with a broad brush, because there's probably a lot of, you know, the Sex Pistols come to mind. They didn't really take it very seriously.
No.
But then the Clash did. You know, I mean, and they were a very serious band. So. Yeah. You know, coming from even a working class background in Britain, you know, you get a different attitude.
One of the best voices in rock and roll, and Bill, I think you may agree with me on this, Jeff Lynne from ELO.
Yeah.
Jeff Lynne was a lovely guy. I mean, he was a little insecure, and if you read the list of songs that ELO already had out, I mean, it was everything. It was, you know, 10 top 10 hits. And I was sitting with him, and there's a quote, there's a great quote in the book. He goes, you know, my dad brings it home to me. He goes, why don't you just write something? He goes, look, Dad, I got a platinum disc for this, a million sold. He goes, and my dad says, why don't you just write something that people will sing along with?
Oh,
or
wow.
people will remember. And he goes, I'd put it all in my place, you know? And so he still had this little, and he talks about getting an award with Paul McCartney at an award show in Britain. He goes, there I was on a par with Paul McCartney.
Wow.
You know, so it was interesting to see. And I do. I just one of the funny lines in the book that I enjoyed writing was it would be fun to go back and sit in that interview with Jeff Lynne and say, hey, have you ever thought about starting a supergroup with George Harrison, Tom Petty, Bob Dylan, and Roy Orbison?
Yeah.
You know, and just to look at see the look on his face, like, are you daft? You know, but then it happened, and it was a great band. So
Wilburys.
The Wilburys were a great band.
Awesome. Yeah. And speaking of Roy Orbison, I mean, I've always loved his original records, and then he hooked up with the Wilburys, did some work with Elvis Costello, Mystery Girl. Tell me about Roy.
That was my favorite. That was my favorite interview, because "Oh Pretty Woman" was the first record I ever bought with my own money, and it was a song that touched me, a song that I still love to this day. And when I got a chance, that was actually the first time I went down to Austin to interview Roy, because he was making a really a crazy movie. A lot of people don't know it. It has like a cult following called Roadie. Meatloaf is in it.
Oh, and I do know that movie.
Yeah,
I couldn't think of it. It's
a really bad movie, but
can't wait to see it.
But Roy is in there with a bunch of people. Blondie's in the movie. Alice Cooper and his whole band are in the movie. And in his band at the time were a couple of people from Utopia, Todd Rundgren's band.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm a huge Todd Rundgren fan, me and Bob Stroud and a whole bunch of people on the radio in this town. I just got here the other day, and I was driving down the Kennedy, and Bob Stroud was doing a thing on Todd Rundgren's birthday, you know, a whole piece. And I was like, yeah, I feel home here. Anyway, Roy was just the super gentlemanly guy, just very kind, very soft-spoken, not, you know, aware of his accomplishments, but not, you know, full of himself in any manner, shape, or form.
Would you say that of the people you talked with, he would be the epitome of, like, the most unlikely of music stars?
Well, yeah,
he would be, right?
Definitely. I mean, he had a lot of challenges. He was not, you know, he was not the most handsome of men, and he was insecure about that.
Yeah,
like a lot of musicians are. I mean, you see that, you know, you see that it's a compensation, and so they can go on stage and be somebody else, put on sunglasses, put on a hat, put on a, you know, put on a couple of scarves, and you're Steven Tyler.
Anyone on stage looks good. Who do you always bring up every time we say
this? Wendy and I have what we call the Iggy Pop formula, which says that if Iggy Pop works at Arby's, no woman ever talks to him ever. But if he's a rock star, everybody loves him.
Absolutely.
Sexy beast.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So he had, and he had a lot of you know, he had a lot of personal challenges in his life too. He had a lot of tragedy, you know, a lot of death surrounding him when he was, you know, in his prime, trying to make it, that kind of slowed momentum down.
Yeah.
So that when Elvis and Bruce Springsteen and all those folks got together to do that Black and White night, it really, I think, that's a great show, and to this day, and it shows his influence, you know, as a singer, as a songwriter. Yeah,
right.
He's incomparable.
Right.
Yeah, Roy Orbison.
I can't wait to read this. Everything I Know I Learned from Rock Stars. Conversations.
I can't wait for you to read it.
From 1975 to 1995. Bill Page is his name, and you can purchase this at EckhartPress.com.
Eckhart's with a Z.
Eckhart's Press.
Yeah.
I was going to spell it, but I'll let
you
do
okay.
it. You got it figured out quicker than I do.
E-C-K-H-A-R-T-Z. I always think of the canary packages, hearts, you know, hearts bird feed. So it's Eckhart's. It's actually Rick's, you know, Rick's dad's name, right? It was Eckhart.
Rick Kemper.
Yeah. And,
but Eckhart Drugs does not carry this book. Let's just make that clear right now.
It's EckhartsPress.com, okay. And it's available, and it's available there online right now. Copies are rolling off the press as
Excellent.
We speak.
Excellent.
I think.
Congratulations.
So, thanks very much for having me on.
Thanks, Bill.
My mother. I wish my mother was still alive, because she used to have, I talk about that in the book, she used to have WGN on all the time.
Oh, excellent.
And, you know, I grew up on Wally Phillips and Cubs broadcasts. So
I hear they get a good signal up in heaven.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. My son just got married last weekend, and I'm sure she had something to do with the beautiful day that we had, too. So
thanks, Bill.
Thanks very much.
Congrats
Thank
on
you
the
for
book.
Having me here.
That's Bill Page again. The book is called Everything I Know I Learned from Rock Stars, Conversations 1975 to 1995. A great read. We'll take a quick break and then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.